Dear friends, sheep of the Lord Jesus who know his voice. I actually called my mom's answer machine at the house. After she had passed away, she still had that there, and I just needed to hear her voice until they took it away. That is a compelling voice in my life. The Voice, have you ever seen the show that determines who goes on to be some professional singer? The Voice has a twist. The four judges turn around backwards and they just listen. And if the voice has enough power or expression, they hit the light, their seat rotates, and they say, "I want you to be on my team." Now, that compelling nature of a voice is all around us. I think it's been there since day one, and it probably is very evident. You don't even have to look in order to know somebody who is talking to you because you recognize their voice. We're going to talk about the voice today as the one who calls us. And it's emotive. It's supportive. It's soothing like a child has, especially in mom's voice. Not all the voices around us are good. Some are. Some in the crowd will help us in the directions that God would have us go, and some are not good at all. They sound harmless, perhaps, but they are not. Maybe an advertiser. And you know this, don't you? You probably have sung ditties in your head or out loud. I could even check with your family and find out, have they listened to a commercial and then they kept singing it again and again and again? You know, advertisements get inside of us. They seem harmless. But maybe that advertisement makes you want to be skinnier. Maybe it makes you want to wear a certain fragrance or have a certain clothing, buy a certain car. You know how it works, don't you? And then there are some other voices, the voices of friends, who maybe we thought were very close to us until we find out behind our backs they're texting or writing something that you should never say about anybody, and we can feel very betrayed. Or maybe it's a family or family member or even a mom or dad that has said, "You will never amount to anything." We've had voices like that in our heads, and they're hard to stop because they continue to run. And they speak doubt, pain, uncertainty, fear, and sadness into our souls. And the voice that we'll be talking about today is a counterbalance to all of that, because the voices of the world can cause you to be hopeless. They can make you want to check out or leave. They sap us of our energy. The Bible says that these are voices of the flesh. Right before our verse 14, it comes out in Romans 8. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh, the sinful nature, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." It is, in fact, that the Scriptures is going to call us out of that. Out of that sinful nature. Out of the realm of Satan. And into God's flock. So today we're going to look at the voice that calls us. And it's common knowledge among shepherds that flocks can all be intermingled, but when one shepherd speaks out, the specific sheep will come out of the flock and join their shepherd. On page 10, my outline talks about the three persons, Spirit, Father, and Son, as you shall see, adopted, praying, and delivered by the voice of truth. The Spirit calls us an adopted child of God. He says, "Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. I'll come back to that in just a little bit. It's as though he says these words. Take all your imperfections and failures and bring them to me. Pack up your pain, the hurts of this life, and lay them before me. Give me your doubts and fears, for you are my child, and nothing will separate you from my love. Now that's the kind of parent we have. Not that we want to have, but we already have. And it is in the Spirit's conviction through the power of the message of the Word of God that we have received that. Now sometimes people get unhitched from who they are. It was in 2012, so a few years back, not quite a decade ago, they found a body under an overpass. He had died of exposure. He was obviously homeless. And you would think it would be a routine thing. They take him to the morgue, they bury him. But in this case, they found out who he was. His name was Timothy Gray. And he happened to be worth $19 million. He was an adopted grandchild to a New York railroad magnate. The estate was worth $300 million. He had been adopted by a child of that grandpa who started the whole industry. But he had his portion, his slice. And the mystery is, why did he never take it? Why would he have died homeless? What happened? And I don't know. I can't tell you. The reality of what God has given to us needs to absorb into our soul because we are called heirs of God. An heir is an inheritor. It basically means the children own everything mom and dad do. Now, you might have to split with your siblings. Don't get any ideas that you need to have it all. But you, as an heir, an inheritor, receive everything that is theirs. And as an heir of Christ, through the resurrection, we receive the gift of forgiveness and a restored life. There's something parallel in human life and behavior. The researchers of Queen's University in Ontario discovered that babies can distinguish the voice of their mother rather aggressively. They wanted to know when, and so they kept researching back and would play the voice of the mother reading a poem and the voice of a stranger. They discovered that all babies, by the 30th week of pregnancy, all babies can recognize mother's voice. How did they know? Because all babies have an immediate response. Their heartbeat quickens. As soon as she begins to read, there's a recognition. Well, what happens when a stranger starts to read? Their heartbeat slows down. And it's as though they were in this, a little bit of anxiety or at least questioning. It is a response that they are looking for, an attention focus response, being quiet to try to figure out, is this a familiar voice? Interesting, isn't it, that we can distinguish the voice because of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Father has an invitation to ask and promises he will listen. Right in this text, once again, comes the Trinity. It's in the word Abba, which is a Hebrew word for father. It can mean like daddy, but it has a respect level to it. There's something here, you know, father is kind of almost distant, but it at least has that concept of the big person in my life that provides everything, the person that protects me, the person that is on my side. You are a child, a dear child of the Almighty God. Wow. Is that significant? To be able to go to him and do what is stated here. He says, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Distinctly, God, when he asks us to pray, is not saying, bring me a payment, bring me some way, like a tribute, that I will then pay attention to you. He says, as Luther will write in the Catechism, come with boldness and confidence because you belong to me. Now, this last week on Tuesday, we celebrated Tom's ministry with the seniors. Had a big gathering and kind of reminisced a little bit about all the blessings that were there. And Tom, in speaking to the seniors, told them about his many favorite passages, one of which was Isaiah 43. And it's interesting because I don't identify that with Tom. I identify that passage with a boy sitting in a wheelchair on my right. His name is Mike Schnell. Many of you knew Mike. And Mike was in a rollover van accident that caused a brain injury, and so he was handicapped for the rest of his life. Age 5, the Lord took him at age 30. I remember his confirmation verse better than I remember my own. Isaiah 43, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. You see, we can go to the Father in prayer and ask for anything, anything, because he loves us. It doesn't mean that he's a marionette and we can pull the strings and get God to do our bidding. It just means that he loves us so much he wants us to have that access. Now, children especially are known on maybe playground time to compare dads, and they are so confident that their dad is the strongest, wisest person in the world that they'll usually brag about their dad. And that's a wonderful thing. You see, there's that confidence, that boldness to be able to take to him any problem, any pain. And in fact, he invites that. He wants that attention to be given and his care. So through the chaos of the crowd, with all the voices, and this has been that time in our life, we are now afflicted by constant airwaves and texts and pictures and sounds, other voices. But the Father's voice is soothing. He says, I have redeemed you. You are mine. You matter to me. And as we bridge into our third point, I will come to your rescue. Why did Jesus come? Because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together agreed we were worth his effort and energy to rescue. The Son offers to bring us the voice of truth. At verse 17, now if we are God's children, and we are, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Jesus came as the one who would deliver the promises. You've gotten real used to this. You click on a button and it says make the payment, and just like that, you're going to be able to track your package and it's going to show up on your doorstep. I think everybody in this room probably has either done it or seen it done. And you know, the smiley truck that pulls in, or the one that's white, and they drop the package off. They deliver that. Now, this is something quite different, though. Deliverance in the sense of rescue is what Jesus did on the cross. He delivered us from the danger of our flesh and the enemy. And when he cried out, it is finished, he was saying, all is well. All has been accomplished. He said, Father, forgive them. Today you'll be with me in paradise. The voice of truth says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever is dying will yet live. And the voice of truth says, I am with you always to the end of the age. Proclaim this gospel to all creation. Just as I have loved you, so also you are to love one another. When he says, I have done it, and that's, in the Hebrew, that's a very famous phrase, kipi Adonai dber. The Lord says, I have done it. Jesus picked that up in order to assure us that the rescue is complete. And we sometimes forget that. In a world that is seesawing all over the place with political and analysts and efforts, and boy, the contests of the wills that are around us today, many voices, but one voice has cried out, Kipi Adonai Deber, I have done it. It has been accomplished. And right when you understand that, then say to your own heart, you are not a slave. You are a child. You do not belong here. You belong to God. Like a little boy who was kidnapped in Atlanta. In 2014, his name was Willie Myrick. Lured into a car by a stranger. Like every parent's nightmare, right? The guy was offering money, and Willie looked at the money. It's sort of like the fruit, and he took it. He got into the car, and then he realized, I'm in a bad situation, 9 years old. But he had been to Sunday school on Sunday, and his teacher had said, isn't it wonderful that in every circumstance, whether good or bad, we can always sing praise to God? And so she taught them the song, Every Praise, by Hezekiah Walker. I probably should look it up. I'm not even sure I know what it is. I'm sure you can find it on Google. Hezekiah Walker. So, little Willie started singing, and as soon as he'd finished, he'd sing it again. He sang the praise of God so much, so loud, that the kidnapper couldn't take it anymore, opened the door and said, you got to get out of here. You're going to drive me crazy. He actually had the praise on his lips that would save him. And then, not only that, but on the Sunday after, as the whole family and the congregation celebrated his safety and his deliverance, another thing happened. Hezekiah Walker, the original composer, showed up at his church to congratulate him and say, you are the miracle that I prayed for when I wrote this song. You know, that's an analogy here in this life, and it's so much bigger when we hear the voice of truth. The voice of truth says that we belong to him, and he'll be with us forever. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, he says. It is right there in the scriptures, and Luther especially would pick that up, that one day we will be with him in innocence, righteousness, blessedness. A final connection. Some of you really like the power of a TV controller, a remote, right? It has a power button on it, so you like that. You can turn it on, you can turn it off. Some of you like all the buttons. You like to be able to pause when somebody's getting out of, you know, they're getting on your nerves, and you go like, you want to watch or don't you? Pow. I got the power of the pause button. You also like that mute button. When you can't hear something, you mute it. And you go like, oh, I can watch this and I can listen. Well, this is God's provision of a mute button. Over Satan, over our flesh, our sinful nature, over a world, he silences the dominating voices of death and destruction that are out there. He silences the accusing voices of unworthiness and failure that are rolling around in our hearts and souls. And he silences the loud noise of doubt and fear. And we turn back to him and say, Abba, Father. Some of you have heard the song, The Voice of Truth, by a modern group. They wrote that, Casting Crowns, on the premise of Peter's walk out on the water. Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the water, and the composer says, I wish I had a faith like that. So here's how it begins. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. And the voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Are you aware of his voice? I know you are. And today on Trinity Sunday, we celebrate it, we praise God, and we are assured of deliverance and victory already, because that's the God we have, a Father who sends a Son to deliver us. And what he wants most of all is for us to finish this race we call life, and one day, as we go to sleep, we find ourselves alive again in his presence. And as Luther would say, to live with him in righteousness, innocence, and blessedness forevermore. Now that is the voice that we can count on, because it's the voice of truth. And it is that voice that calls us to be his own. Amen.